Emma Kent.
And I'm Derek Russell, and this is The Memo,
a podcast of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and djournal.com. Good afternoon, and this is The Memo on this Wednesday, October 4th. I'm Emma Kent, and I'm here with Derek Russell.
How are you, Emma?
I'm good. How are you, Derek?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here with you.
Cool. Me too. What's going on in your world?
I'm here.
That's it?
That's it.
That's all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ready to talk all things Northeast Mississippi
with Literally you. All things.
All things.
We can go county by county.
The county started in 17... No, I'm not going to go back that far.
Pull it up 18, on Wikipedia.
17.
Full history.
Sense. Yes.
That's all we're going to do today.
Yes. Population.
Just read
altitude.
It.
We could do that.
Altitude. That's interesting.
Yeah. Would you like to know how far above sea level we are?
I would. That seems like really important information.
Can we guess? Can we guess first?
Yes, absolutely.
300 feet.
300 feet above sea level, you say?
That's what I say.
Emma?
I'm going to go with 275.
Did you just Price is Right him? Did you just like undercut him?
$1. Like, I'm going to go with
$1. Oh my God, that was awful. Wait, how much did you say?
300.
How much did you say?
275.
279.
No.
You did Price is Right him.
Yes.
You did Price is Right
so
him.
I win the trip to Hawaii, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
It's all mine,
this has been a great day.
That's awful.
Until you like, jumped how, in, how, I had it.
That was cold-hearted. Ruthless. Do that. Any guess on the year of incorporation? Anybody?
For Lee County?
Yeah, for Tupelo.
1841?
I have no idea.
Take the high road. Don't undercut. Don't Price is Right him again. You don't get to play Plinko just for that.
1834.
You did the same thing again that you just did to him.
I don't know.
1870.
Oh, we were way off.
1870.
Huh. Okay.
We should stick to altitude.
Now, if you'd like to double down on your points and move on to the sudden death round, we could...
Yeah. Hit us with that sudden death. There's got to be something else.
Square mileage of the city?
The city of Tupelo?
Yeah.
Where to start? 422.
Just the city, not Lee County. Just... City of Tupelo.
5.
46.
67.
44.
67.
That's bigger than I thought.
Yeah. 67 square miles.
So technically it would take you 67-ish minutes, right?
Yeah.
To drive from one.
Yeah. And then more if you get stopped by the train because you'll get it hit by at least 3 places.
You're right. So add like 45 minutes.
Sure.
Of train time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hour and a half.
To test that out. Say.
The last known bank robbery by Machine Gun Kelly was on November 30th, 1932 at the Citizens State Bank in Tupelo.
Really? Never heard that
before. Taking $38,000.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we should publicize that better.
Yeah. I say we take Elvis off everything and put Machine Gun Kelly's last stand on all the
We've got
signage.
Enough tourists from England and Japan for Elvis. I bet we could get tourists from, like, Switzerland.
Oh, yeah,
for Machine Gun
Kelly. Are the Swiss really into Machine Gun Kelly?
All about him, yeah. That's what they tell me.
Did you know the area is subject to tornadoes? I did.
How did you know that?
I've lived here long enough.
They just teach you that in school, since you went to school here?
Well, it says here in Wikipedia the area is subject to tornadoes.
Huh.
Two tornadoes is a hard thing to say.
I feel like there's been more than two tornadoes, though.
The area is subject to... Okay, I was like... can't tell if he's getting that or not. Not two tornadoes. Two
Somebody tornadoes. Alert Matt Lobhon.
He knows.
Do you think?
I'm pretty sure he's aware.
Well, you're probably right.
Yes.
All right, so I guess we can talk about...
That's it. Every day I will provide you with some factoid about our area.
Hey, I mean, those are things I didn't
Can't
know.
Wait. All right.
So,
well, there you go. Well, it's a new
feature. What new should feature? We call it?
Tupelo tips.
Sure.
Tupelo trivia.
Ooh, yeah. Trivia.
Trivia low. Trivia.
Did you tuple know?
No. There you go.
Derek's looking at me like, please stop.
You know, I'm Price is Right when the yodeler goes over the edge. was rough.
Okay.
Tupanow. More like Tupanow.
Tuple, did you know?
What?
Did you tuple know?
Tupanow. Moving on. We have a full show today. Emma Kent will be joining us in the lineup. Oh, that's you.
That's me.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, then you're already here.
Here I am.
That's good to know.
Ready to go.
Then instead we'll be discussing a special called Airport Meeting, which sounds riveting. I can't wait to hear all about that. And Bobby Harrison, live via satellite from Jackson, will join us as well. We'll go ahead and get started and move right into Emma, since you're first on the docket.
I am.
You're up first. TPSD marketing. How is the school district marketing itself?
Well, a lot of ways.
Okay.
It turns out.
List them.
If you haven't seen.
I have a sign in my yard, so I know that's one of them.
Yeah, the signs. I've been seeing a lot of those around town.
Mm-hmm. I have a license plate, too, so there's two.
Gosh, they've infiltrated your
yard. They're in there.
Your car.
They're probably in my house.
Wow.
The call's coming from inside the house.
They put a chip in your arm.
Yep. Right there.
Oh, wow. Literally. He really has a Band-Aid on his arm. I was kidding. Yeah, so they are sort of taking a business-type approach to this. You know, marketing the school district and the service, you know, that it provides of educating your children as, you know, like any other service that you would market and try to convince people, you know, to come and be a customer, so to speak. But so they have done a lot more social media lately, kind of a big push on that. And some people might have noticed that on Instagram, especially, they've really sort of started to post lots more photos. They're using the Instagram stories, and they're just doing a lot, you know, trying to put out, I guess, positive messages about the district, and also just information, just sort of letting people know what's going on at each school. And people like to see their kids. I mean, I don't know, I don't have kids, but you guys do. I'm sure it's fun to see your kids, you know, like a picture of your kids on the school district's Facebook or something like that. You know, you kind of get to see what they're doing.
Yeah. It's cool to see what they're doing. Like you said, a lot of times when you're not there.
Yeah.
See their real personality come out.
Yeah. So that's kind of the gist of it. And, it also kind of helps them create a connection with, like, the parents. I mean, the parents are going to feel more connected to what's going on in the school if they can see it and sort of interact with it on social media by sharing, liking, commenting, all that kind of stuff. It's really interesting because it's like the same thing that you see all kinds of businesses doing and all kinds of different brands and things, but the school district has sort of taken this and run with it recently. So
a lot of this, I guess, is about competition for students. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what they said in your story, that it's as intense as it's ever been, I guess, and trying to stay ahead of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there are more options, I guess, nowadays for kids when it comes to education. You can homeschool, or, you know, there's private schools, or there's just lots of public school districts, you know, in our area. And so everybody wants people to choose their school district because, you know, they believe they're the best and they believe that they can, you know, provide a good education for those kids.
Hometown pride.
And it matters for the district in terms of funding, you know.
Right. The more students you have,
that's what it's based on. So
the more students they have, the more funding they'll receive from the state because it's based on that, per pupil. It's a per pupil expense. But, so there's that too. I mean, it comes down to some numbers in that sense, but, and then, you know, that you've also got more online education options, which I think is something that you didn't have even like 5 years ago. And some people are choosing to do that. And so it's all about what can the school district offer and then how can we show that off? And how can we show people that, you know, we can give your kid a good education. And then by doing that, it drums up support for the district, which is really important. Especially with all the conversations surrounding school choice and charter schools and those kinds of things that we've been seeing lately in our state. I mean, not necessarily in North Mississippi as much. We don't have any charter schools here yet, but in Jackson and down in, you know, the southern part of the state, there's more conversation about that, and you know, you just never know when that's going to sort of bubble up here. So
does this kind of tie into, I know in your story you talked about marketing specifically to young families, and I know on the big picture, I mean, that in Tupelo itself, you know, that's a big thing that Tupelo is trying to do, and with some of the housing and redeveloping neighborhoods and whatnot, is trying to get more young families, and certainly schools is a big part of what makes young families decide where they're going to be. So, I mean, I guess this all kind of plays in together with kind of the big picture of what's happening in the city of Tupelo, is this kind of greater effort to try to attract more young people to inside the city limits of Tupelo.
Yeah. And you know, and they talk about, the school board talks about this sort of this conversation about enrollment and mobility is something they like to talk about, you know, as far as kids moving from school to school, even within the district. You know, they want to try to minimize that, because when you move a kid from one school to another, it kind of can disrupt the learning or, you know, and so, but anyway, all of these conversations sort of tie back to, like you said, things that the city of Tupelo, officials in the city have talked about, you know, trying to decrease rental housing, in favor of more affordable housing where people can buy houses, and sort of settle into the city and invest in it in that way. And so the school district is like a huge part of that. And this is sort of all of the marketing, you know, all of the sort of positive messages you're seeing coming out of the school district are a way for them to say, like, hey, we're worth investing in. Like, the city of Tupelo has this going for it. It's a hand-in-hand thing, even if it's not, you know, even if they're not working on it together.
I was going to ask that. Do you see them working together much on this?
They communicate a lot about it. You know, I've seen at different work sessions or board meetings where they have, you know, someone from the city will come in and sort of talk a little bit about housing or whatever. And so they don't work on, you know, they don't work on it together all the time, but it's something that
they're in communication.
Yeah. They're in communication about it. And I think they see that there's a big connection between, how the school district is doing and then how the city will benefit, you know,
Their successes are tied to each other.
I guess. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And I think that's something you hear a lot in Tupelo, just with there being, strong support for the public school system and sort of pride behind it. So they just want to make sure they keep that going and sort of move forward together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
So,
and it makes for something to look for when you're stuck at the crosstown train.
Yeah, nice billboard.
Good billboards.
Yeah. Good billboards.
You mentioned another thing I was curious about. You mentioned this is being a very business-like approach. I mean, I guess I know this Superintendent Gerald Loden is very interested in business practices and loves reading business, you know, type books and CEO. I mean, I guess that's a lot. He's the one who's driving a lot of this and driving that business-like approach, would you say?
I mean, I would think so. I mean, I would think so. I don't know, directly. I think he probably sort of has planted the seed of that. But now it's, I mean, everybody in the district seems to have sort of that
mindset.
Part
of the culture, I guess.
Yeah, it's become part of the culture, and I'm sure that's a trickle-down thing from him in bringing his sort of business
savvy.
Yeah, he has his MBA, right?
I believe he does.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's right, but I know he's very interested.
Fairly certain that he does. So he has sort of that background to help sort of bring all this stuff to fruition and, you know, change the mindset, like you said. But it's just really interesting that there's a lot of strategy. There's a whole little, like, you know, there's a whole group of people in the central office who work on this. And I sat in on kind of one of their meetings for the story, and it's a lot like what I would imagine you'd see at any business, where they sit down and they're like, how can we reach these people? How can we reach these people? What's the best way to do that? You know, how can we use social media in new ways? Are we using this platform? You know, and I was just kind of really struck by how savvy they were about it.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's not something that I've seen in a lot of other school districts. You know, I mean, a lot of school districts use social media and they advertise and do all those things. I think people are starting to do that more, but they just seem really savvy about it. So it was pretty impressive, actually. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. Good information, Emma.
Thank you.
Look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke and Dalton Middleton. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast, where Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon, in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
And if you haven't yet, be sure to listen to the Daily Journal's newest podcast, Open, The Case of Leochi. On that podcast, I take a fresh look at the unsolved disappearance of a 13-year-old Tupelo girl from 25 years ago. That includes a potentially overlooked witness and a person of interest in the case that police never spoke about publicly. The 6-episode investigative serial podcast is now available in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and a variety of other podcast apps. Or you can stream it from our website, djournal.com/openpodcast.
Dennis Sid joining us to talk about the Tupelo Regional Airport.
Good morning. Exciting topic.
How regional? I know. Very riveting. How regional are we talking?
Well, that depends on how you define regional.
Okay. Well, we're not going to get into semantics this morning, I guess. So, 6 new airlines have bid for the right to fly in and out of Tupelo.
Five plus one, the incumbent Contour Airlines. They have submitted bids to continue service here in Tupelo, which Contour has provided 30 times a week round trip to Nashville since April of last year, and the contract expires in March. So the U.S. Department of Transportation is entertaining bids from 6 airlines
There's a mentality of if it's not broke, don't fix it. And for once, it's not broken.
That's pretty much the feeling because Contour has done.
Is Seaport coming back? We're going to do Seaport again?
Strange you should mention Seaport because one of the airlines that submitted value something. Anyway.
Yeah, that's where I want to fly with value written on the side of the plane.
Well, their owners were the former owners of Seaport, so I think that's a big fat no right there. Okay. But that's just me. I can't speak for the board.
All right.
But anyway, there was a meeting yesterday, and they talked about these bids, and they're going to...
I can say that. Seaport canceled my flight one time, so...
Well, at least you got a flight with them.
Yeah.
Tried. I didn't. At least you tried.
I
didn't. Did you try back? Point. Did you try back?
No, I did not.
Apparently,
it wasn't like your flight's been delayed. It's like, yeah, we're not going.
So you gave up, like Seaport gave up, pretty much.
Yeah.
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 Where were you going?
Memphis.
Okay.
What?
I just wanted to know.
Follow up question?
No, I was just curious.
No.
That's all. I guess I'm just curious why you didn't just drive to Memphis.
Well, I was it was early morning and I was going to connect.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't like, I'm just going to fly to Memphis.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I don't want to leave my car in Memphis.
I understand.
Yeah.
Did you drive after it was canceled?
Well, yeah. Had to.
Okay, that's all.
Because I was going to be gone for a while, and $20 a day at the Memphis airport is kind of expensive for leaving your car there.
Just leave your car at Graceland.
What? So, but no to Seaport. No Seaport? Let's not do Seaport.
Or
value.
Or the... You know,
anything that
the
sounds
descendant
like,
of
anything that sounds like a grocery store is not where I want to be flying.
Todd's Big Star Airlines.
Yeah, yeah. Walmart Air just doesn't sound good to me.
Amazon Air.
Is that a thing?
And that's
it.
The,
will be.
Isn't that the?
You're right.
The drone delivery.
Ooh, can you get like Prime seats?
Yeah, if you're a Prime member, can
two day delivery.
Yeah.
International.
They just box you up. You don't actually, it's not, I mean, it's an airplane, but there's no seats. You just, yeah.
They send drones and they pick you up.
Yeah.
You're packed and you're, you know, shipped in peanuts.
And
strapped in with packing tape.
Yeah.
No seat belts necessary.
Yeah.
The shipping is free.
If you pay the Prime membership.
There's an Uber option where you can share 2 in one box, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
This one.
So if
far
you look up the word tangent
to.
In the dictionary,
yeah,
this is where
you'll
we
find our pictures. Okay, going back, Contour is currently being paid $4.2 million per year through a grant that allows them to continue
subsidy,
service.
Not a grant.
Well,
subsidy.
Subsidy, excuse me.
Semantics.
It's a federal program. How about that?
There you call go. It. Now they're asking for about $400,000 less for providing the same service since they've discovered that, hey, you know, and we've found some efficiencies. And there's also an option of adding, the maximum they can do is 30 flights due to the program. So there are options to do like 24 Nashville, 6 to Atlanta, because some people have asked for Atlanta. But there are options to consider. And if you're happy with Contour and want to stick with Contour, or you like one of the other airline bids, you can email at Tupelo Regional Airport Director Cliff Nash at c.nash@flytupelo.com.
They're taking votes.
Well, he'd like to hear from the public. And yeah. They're going to boil it down to some finalists and try to have a public meeting of some kind, if not at least solicit comments. But, yeah, essentially, why break what's not broken?
Are any of the other bids offering things that Contour is not?
Well, here it is. It boils down to no one is offering anything much different from what's going on now.
Sure.
And if you pick somebody new, you have to start all over with, you know, the whole, just you have to start over. You know? And then why try to do that if Contour is working, which apparently it is. Now, a couple of the airlines are offering, you know, big 50-seat regional jets for a dozen flights here and there, one of them including the, you know, the aforementioned airline that has seaport routes. And then the other airline has had not very good service at the airports that is currently doing business. So we can strike those two off the list.
Gotcha.
And the other one is offering, you know, 9-seat planes. Some of them are, you know, single engine as opposed to the twin engine that jet streams that Contour is flying. So
offering.
Is that a step back? Some people might think so. But anyway,
yeah.
We had a story. Look on it online and you can read all the bids.
Yes, indeed, in your daily journal. That ran on Sunday?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. I don't know the date, sorry.
But there was a more recent one, too.
Yeah.
Were you updated on that? So, well, what's the when will they make a decision?
Well, that's a good question. They voted to think about it and talk about it a little bit more. So we don't know yet.
Oh, hurry up and wait.
There you go. There's a supposed October 19th deadline, but they're probably going to ask for an extension so they can talk about it a little bit more and get a little more input from the flying public.
Will this be up again for rebid next year?
Well, they're two-year contracts, so.
Every time. It wasn't something like with Contour being this being their first go-around that it
right.
was
it's just,
up for a shorter
one. The program is every 2 years we, you know, submit, look for bids again, and sometimes it's easy going, and sometimes it gets a little more complicated, but.
Gotcha.
I'm fairly certain they're going to stick with Contour, but.
You heard it here first, folks. Dennis said says Contour is staying.
Breaking.
Thank you for joining us with this information, Dennis. It is vital to the memo to discuss airfare. So we appreciate you and your hard work.
Don't forget to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 or catch the replay later in the day.
You can also wake up for your day and get ready with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, and the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
All right, now we've got Bobby Harrison, our Daily Journal Capital Bureau Chief, here to talk about HB 1523, which goes into effect this Friday. Just a reminder, that's the law that was passed that would allow Mississippi circuit clerks to refuse marriage licenses based on religious objections. So, Bobby, this law went to the United States Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, but they refused to block the law. Why did they refuse to block it, and sort of what's the conversation around this going into effect on Friday?
Well, the backstory, Emma, how you doing, by the way?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, doing okay. The backstory is that, you know, that this was actually passed way back in the 2016 session, and right before it was to go into effect in July 1st, 2016, U.S. District Court Judge Carlton Reeves blocked it up. I mean, hours before it was going to effect on constitutional grounds. Earlier the U.S. Supreme Court had a I forget the name of the decision, but had essentially okayed or approved gay marriage, and based on that, he at least partially on that he blocked the law. And at that particular time, Attorney General Jim Hood decided not to defend it any longer, but Governor Phil Bryant continued to defend it, and he, you know, went from the district judge to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is considered one of the more conservative court of appeals in the nation. And that Court of Appeals back in June, I think, a three-judge panel ruled that it was too early to block the law because no one had actually been harmed by the law. So, and so they lifted Reeves' blocking of the law, if you will. And then just last week, the full Court of Appeals, based on an appeal by the opponents of the law, reaffirmed the three-judge panel's decision, leading the way for it to go into effect Friday. But, you know, the opponents of the law say they're going to appeal to the Supreme Court, who could block it again, or I think there's actually a path to block it again through the Court of Appeals. Whether the Court of Appeals will honor that request or not remains to be seen. But right now, you know, the law is poised to go into effect, and we'll just have to see then. The opponents of the law are looking for people who are actually harmed by the law. So, I mean, at that point, some people think they have the opponents of the law will have a stronger case.
Yeah, and so I know we've talked a lot about this law in terms of issuing marriage licenses, but opponents say that it could have other effects as far as businesses and just different services for weddings. And what's kind of the scope of what is protected by this law?
Well, you know, the opponents, I mean, I think it's so, I mean, I'm no attorney, Emma, but based on some of the stuff the Attorney General said and others, I think maybe both sides may be overstating the case. But, you know, the bottom line is you don't know exactly what the impacts of the law until it's in effect and somebody tries to do something based on that law. And then there's a court, you know, there's a lawsuit, and then we see how the courts rule then. So, I mean, you know, it's debatable exactly what the law does. But, you know, there's an argument to be made that, you know, there's no federal law, you know, in relation to, as I understand, discrimination against gays in terms of businesses. You know, there's some wide federal law, but no specific law. Now, when you hear, you know, cases, you know, in like about the cake maker being sued or being fined by the state but for not making a cake for a gay wedding or the florist, those are in states that have specific laws saying that a business can't discriminate against gay people. Mississippi doesn't have a law like that now, so there's a debate whether this law is needed. And then the people who, you know, the people who say this law will force ministers, for instance, to perform same-sex marriages against their will. I mean, that's, you know, that's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. That claim is just totally bogus. You know, that no state would no state in America would force a minister to do that. You know, ministers, you know, every day refuse to, you know, to perform marriage ceremonies based on a number of reasons, and the government's not going to get involved in that. So there's a lot of misinformation, I think, about this law, but it could have far-reaching impact as it relates to the clerks. I mean, you know, the Supreme Court's already addressed this issue in Kentucky, where a clerk was not issuing marriage license to gay couples, and the Supreme Court said the clerk had to issue the license. Now, what's different in the Mississippi law is it's that, you know, if the clerk or no one in the office will issue the marriage license, the state is supposed to step in some format, in some process, issue the license in lieu of the clerk doing it. But I mean, it's not clear, at least not to me, how that would work, and it's not clear how that could be done without gay couples being discriminated or treated differently than a man and a woman marrying. So that's the issue, and we just have to see how that plays out.
Right. So it sounds like for this, we really just don't know until it goes into effect and we sort of see what happens.
Right. You know, the line about, you know, we'll see what happens when the bill goes into effect. A lot of times that's true because ultimately it's the courts that decide. So, and this is creating a lot of expense for the state in terms of, you know, if the state loses at the Supreme Court level, they have to pay a lot of attorney's fees. And then whether the law, whatever the law does is also creating some bad publicity for the state, at least in some quarters. So as far as I know, it was nothing the Clerks Association was asking for. It was something that the legislature just decided it was going to do on its own. Mm-hmm. So that's another issue, too.
All right. Well, I guess we will, like you said, see what happens when this thing goes into effect on Friday. Is there any, there's no chance that anything would happen between now and then to stop that, is there? Or is that a longer process?
No, I mean, Rod McDuff, he's an attorney, a prominent attorney who handles a lot of these types of cases, civil rights type cases, Jackson-based. He said he's going to appeal it to the Supreme Court. So theoretically, the Supreme Court could block it before Friday. Or as I said, the Court of Appeals, you know, there's an avenue for the Court of Appeals to delay the enactment again. So those are possibilities that could, you know, prolong this thing even, may kick it on further down the road.
yeah. So, but are those things likely to happen before Friday, or is that less likely? You know, I guess I'm just curious how quick.
I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't know if you knew, so I was just curious. Yeah,
to be perfectly honest, you know, I think there's a chance. I think that, you know, the chance that the Supreme Court could do something because, you know, they've already ruled the Kentucky case. I don't know the particulars, but there was, you know, if you recall, it was back in the news, I guess, maybe last summer, that there was a clerk there in Kentucky who wasn't issuing a marriage license to same-sex couples. And, you know, that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And, essentially the Supreme Court said, you know, it's your duty as a public official to follow the laws of the land. And, you know, the law of the land now is that gay marriage is legal. And so there you have it. I mean, that was a ruling in that particular case. And whether this would be different or not, you know, I mean, I guess there's other, you know, there's possibilities. I guess the court could say, you know, the state's leaving another option. So I guess they could rule differently, but we'll just have to see.
Thank you, Bobby, for coming and talking it through with us. And I guess, like you said, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks.
Good show, Emma.
Thank you, Derek.
You feel more comfortable in the chair now?
Yeah.
After your own show and now doing this for a week or so?
Yeah. I mean, but I've done this before.
I know. But not this consecutively.
I don't know. You know, there was like that 2 months where Brad just didn't come to work.
Where he just went on vacation.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you're comfortable in this setting. That's
no, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We don't talk about him who shall not be named.
We're staring at him right now.
Yeah.
Actually, I really can't see him. Without his beard. But no, yeah, it's good to be here.
Well, good. We're happy to have you here. Remember, you can listen to the memo you can listen to it whenever, but new episodes are released on Wednesdays and Fridays. You can listen at memo.djournal.com or through podcast apps, and you can find out when new episodes are available by following us on Twitter at djournalmemo. And all the stories we discussed today in your daily journal or online at djournal.com, and you can follow the journal on Twitter at djournalnow.
Cool.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody, have a good day.
You as well.
Thanks, Derek.
Okay, bye.